you are on tour solo, why not with your band?
Well, to make a long story short...
I'll make it long, we have time.
Okay. Well, the guys in the band, in April, we sat down, we did a U.S. tour, and then after the tour, we sat down and, you know, we'd been kind of, like, stuck in this vacuum or something for, like, a year. Like, not really being productive, but still touring a lot, and getting along fine, but just not, no, it wasn't really, like, everybody was kind of, like, scattered. So we weren't really focused on one goal, which is what you need to be if you're in a band.
Which would be an example for a goal, the next record or...
Yeah, but the next record came down to, after we did a whole bunch of writing sessions, they just basically said, you write the record. And when you have all the songs written...
Because you write your lyrics and you write everything and they just...
Well, I wanted to write it as a band. And and we were like, we put in a lot of hours in the practice space writing, but it was on the spot writing. So anything that came out was completely spontaneous. Like I had nothing. I wouldn't bring anything to the practice. We would go there, set up, and then just play 2 days a week. But after a while, I mean, songs were coming out, especially in the beginning. But after a while, I think they were just really frustrated with that process. And I wasn't. I was like... happy with it, and you know, that's where the first seed I think was planted that this wasn't gonna go. And then, you know, kind of from there, it just kind of like, so eventually everybody said, okay, you write the record, and then once you have the songs, we'll go back in the practice space. And that was frustrating for me, but then also the arranging and organizing and doing everything. It was always my plans saying, hey, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And everybody just being like, okay, well, you know. But then eventually, I think Kim just wanted to make the long story short. I think Kim just wanted to focus on a solo career. So he's doing that full time now. And Simon was always with Kim in Kim's band. So Simon the drummer. So he left and... they kind of made that decision together. And the other guys who were playing with us were always kind of just in rotation. Because I think the first time we came here, we had Matthijs with us, maybe.
I think so, yes.
And then the second time, we had Johan on the keyboard. And so it's kind of switched. Mm. So, those guys... Johan is actually still involved. But, you know, he's not like a member. He's more like a touring member, collaboration partner for me. Like, if he doesn't want to play a show, I can't make him.
Okay.
Whereas I would ask a full-time member, they would have to.
Yes. Yeah.
They would have to play. Yeah.
And are you sad about that, or is it maybe better?
Well,
So it's cheaper, of course.
Well, I was really like, it got to a point in May where I was like kind of depressed from it, like, because it was not just the band members, it was the record label, the side, like a week after. No, actually, I sat down with Kim and Simon to tell them that the record label was stopping, so that we were going to have to find a new place or do it ourselves. And then they said, well, sit down for a minute because we're quitting too. And then like 2 weeks later, our manager said, well, I'm quitting. And then a month later, my booking agent said, well, actually, I was a really big fan of the group, but I don't really like where your new musical direction is going, which I thought was weird because he hadn't heard any of the new songs. But I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to try to convince somebody who says that he doesn't want to work with me anymore. Otherwise, because then it's just, you know, when you're working in a creative field, you want people to be ambitious and enthusiastic about the possibility of a creative collaboration, even if it's some guy booking your band in a venue. They have to kind of want to do that, because otherwise there's no point. Because it's a kind of wanting, playing music is I want to do this and I don't have a good reason for it kind of thing. So everybody around it like has to want to do it for the sake of wanting to do it. And then nobody wanted to anymore. So, yeah, by the time it was June and everybody had quit, I was feeling pretty low.
But was there a new musical.ly direction?
No.
Yeah?
No.
I just know this one song, this Hall song mm-hmm. on your website. It's absolutely the same direction, I would say.
But I wrote that afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wrote that with the intention of it being a solo guitar song. But the demos that we had were not so different from before. It was kind of in the same direction as the last EP, Darkling, I listened.
And even if, it's okay to change.
Sure, but I mean, then it's a question of whether or not somebody likes the new musical direction. But it wasn't much different. I think it just got old for everybody. Everybody just wanted to do something else, and since I'm writing the songs, and I was excited about the direction it was going in, I was the only one left.
And then you wrote this as a solo band, you can say so. Solo band, isn't it contradictory?
Well, the songs...
is this only on record? Can I only hear your voice and guitar, or is there something, other instruments?
No, it's just three songs.
On the EP.
Yeah, on the EP, on Enshrine, it's just three songs. And it's just me and an acoustic guitar, and it's live.
Okay.
So it's one take, no polishing, nothing. It's just me on a guitar in a church with a really nice acoustic. And that's what you
this
hear.
This is what you can see on this video clip.
Yeah,
all.
Yeah, that's mm. the... I mean, the video you see is the actual performance.
Process.
And there's some other shots from the surrounding atmosphere. But it was the actual video take of when I actually recorded it. So, and that's the EP. It's just completely as pure and honest as it can be. It's just there's... You get what you hear. So we didn't do any post-production or mixing or anything. It was all, like, straight to a tape recorder.
But why only these EPs? I asked you last time already.
Well, the thing...
Then you had two EPs or...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea was, obviously, to finish a record. But if everybody quits on you in the beginning of the year, and you know that everybody is going to quit, and nobody wants to be involved in recording the new record, then what can I do? I know that I want to do some touring at the end of the year. I know I have some songs, so I decided I'm just going to write some new songs that are more acoustic, singer-songwriter mm-hmm. oriented.
So you could throw away the stuff you
yeah, but I don't
already
want to.
Worked on.
No, yeah, but I don't want to throw that away mm-hmm. because that's stuff that I really want to still collect on a record.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to... The selection that I have for the album now is a couple songs from the Enshrining piece, so the new songs, which I'm going to arrange for a full band. A couple songs from the Darkling I Listen EP, which I'm going to rearrange a little bit. And then, like, 9 new songs.
Okay. And that's in process at the moment?
Yeah, I'm pretty far along with it. It's the songs are there. It's just a matter of finishing up the lyrics. I want the bassist to be... I've never written a song, or let's say, I never wrote an album where I went into the recording process having the songs already finished in the basis. It was always like I would have the music written and then we would kind of arrange while we were recording and then I would think of vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And now I wanted to have the songs completely finished in the basis. So the guitar structure loosely and the vocals finished. And then I go to arrange these songs with a new group of musicians. And then we'll record it. Live in the basses, so just drums, bass, guitar, vocals, mm. and then I'll start adding to it and building a new
and
record.
Who's going to play the instruments?
That's the question. I'm looking right now. It's fun. I was today in the drive down from Düsseldorf. That's what kept me busy, trying to imagine who could do it. And then all of a sudden, I had a couple of ideas of like, oh, I could do it here. I could ask these people. But, you know, it's always a matter of timing and money and all those things. So it's going to be a little bit of a quest to get all the right people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have patience for it. We'll see.
What is the main topic of Enshrine? Is there a topic? I mean, Enshrine is a kind of topic. So.
Well, the name, the title is one of the songs, and it comes from a line in the song that from the song Enshrine where I sing... enshrine these dreams in a golden grave, forever carve their wain into the mountain face.
Very metaphoric.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of it was kind of like letting go of yeah. of
the lost dreams.
Yeah, but it's about that dream that I had to do it together with mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. and make it.
Yeah.
In short, you know, like do something, like create a wave, and it didn't happen with those people. So it was kind of like instead of like trying to bury it, I'm singing. You know, carve it in the mountain face so that everybody can see there was an attempt at something, which in itself is, I think, sometimes it's cool to see a failure, because a failure can also be very inspirational, I think. So in that sense, that was a failure. You know, I failed at, you know, getting all these people to like work with me on this thing. Enshrine has a kind of double meaning. It can be bury, so it can be you enshrine a body in a grave, like in a tombstone
mm-hmm.
or a mausoleum or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has a kind of reverential meaning where it means to almost make it holy.
Yes.
To make it.
That's the sense I understood it.
Yeah, but it's I want the double meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I want
to say goodbye and at the same time to hold on and
right.
go on trying.
Yeah, I like the dichotomy because it means both. You know, yeah. it can mean both, and so I'm kind of playing off it. That's why I like the tour poster is me looking dead on a stretcher, things like that.
Yeah. So the idea or the dream is still existing. In general, but
right.
this token, I would say so in a philosophical way, has gone.
Yeah.
The token is just this example, but
right.
you can
right.
try again.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that's the title, and that's the idea behind the EP. And the songs are just about that time, the feelings I had around it.
What does hall mean? I didn't there.
Well, it can mean a few different things. It could mean like drag something with you, haul it, like pull it, or it could mean like drag from the depths, like get something from very deep and pull it up.
Okay. Normally, it's quite difficult to enshrine anything because everything is always in process. You know, you cannot fix. Something.
Well, you can, but you can try to.
I think even it's memories. I mean,
yeah, but it's. I think that's what I find interesting about it. It's the attempt to enshrine something, to make something. To make something last forever, is itself a kind of act of, you know, even if somewhere you know that it's not going to last forever, the idea that you attempt to do that's the goal, I think makes the effort worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though somewhere in your head you probably know, like, this is going to pass. But it's kind of interesting. I was watching this documentary on the Vikings. They had a very different belief system. You know, like, the Western Christian thought system was... we live now in sin for the afterlife, so we try to live as good as possible, and then we try to earn our spot in heaven. But the Vikings believed the opposite. They believed we live now, and we don't. What lasts is our reputation. So the Christians, you know, like in Western thought, that kind of like eventually took over and like push the kind of Viking way of view, like out of the pagan views, out of the way, was, you know, more like otherworldly, whereas the Vikings were like thinking of like living now with the idea that if you live great, your reputation will last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of intrigued by that. I think that living now and having the reputation be forever is a lot more human, a lot more real than the other thing, like living for something that lasts forever but starts when you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, I don't know, I think I have a little bit more feel for the Viking thing.
So. Yeah, me as well. I can identify with that.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who believe in or want to believe in it,
mm-hmm.
a life after death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mama wie die Wikinger.
Okay, let's do it like the Vikings.
Like the Vikings?
The Vikings. Whatever they do then, I mean, yeah. I don't think it's a good thing to be a bad man or woman because you don't fear anything, because you don't are afraid of your sins, because you don't believe in life after death, you mm-hmm. know, the opposite. So I wouldn't say that it doesn't matter how you live now.
Well, they were
because there is no afterlife for this.
Well, yeah, you know, we can't say for certain. I can't say for certain that there is no afterlife. And if there is, then I'd be interested to know how to, you know, if it actually, if I just don't know. It just seems fascinating to me, like, how there's all these different ideas about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it seems very fantasized to
Every
me.
Every religion has a different system of afterlife. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a system of reincarnation. That's a whole nother.
That's horrible.
Well, I don't know if it is. It seems, you know, I guess if it's like that, it is what it is. And I can't really think anything of it other than the fact that that's the way it is.
But if you can't remember, if you have already been on Earth before in the form of reincarnation.
Well, what if you had a really terrible life, though? What if, like...
I mean, how can I identify me as reincarnated, you know?
Oh, I don't know. There's all kinds of philosophies on this.
It's an epistemological problem.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. But, I mean, the Vikings were a super violent culture.
Yes.
Exactly
that's
for the reason that like,
my problem
fame,
with that. Yeah.
Infamy was, you know, that was, you wanted the greatest reputation at the cost of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody stood in your way, you would kill. So there's also a downside to that kind of a worldview, a lifestyle. So for me, it's the kind of the thought that now counts is interesting, and more so than like living for something later.
But at the moment, you're quite optimistic. You still believe in this dream of the whole of a whole band project, which
no,
you
I mean,
enshrined.
No, I adjusted my expectations to the current situation. I think the Black Atlantic will, from now on, just be my project,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get people involved for a certain amount of time. Who knows, you know, maybe I can be like Neil Young and find a crazy horse who will play with me for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't happen, that's fine. You know, that's life, too. People change, people go in different directions, so... I guess this is my little project, and I just had to realize after 7 years of doing it that it's my baby and not somebody else's.
Isn't your wife as well a musician? Or
No.
No.
But she did play with me for a while because she can play a few instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But she found after a few years of touring and after when we had the kids that she liked the traveling, but she's just not a musician.
A musician...
In the sense of, like, wanting to write songs or thinking about music all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, music for me is
a full-blood musician.
Yeah. You know, she's a creative person in, like, the most broad sense
of
the word.
She could do the management, for example.
I'm not sure if creative people are necessarily good managers. I think managers are very more of a strategic...
Okay, then maybe the website. All right.
Yeah, she helps me out with stuff. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she helped me make the tour poster and she helps me with design stuff. Yeah, so she helps out whenever I'm in a pinch.
Okay, what's your favorite song?
Ha! My favorite song. I don't really. I think. Well, I think my favorite recorded song is Darkling I Listen, just because I feel like with that song we kind of...
Which song is it on the EP?
It's second the song. Third. And that's because I feel that that song came out better than I could have ever imagined it becoming.
We really like to listen to The Aftermath. Is it possible now?
Sure, yeah. I'd have to retune my guitar real quick, but... I didn't... That's funny that you kind of said that he has a favorite song, because I didn't even know that you knew my band. So.
Yeah, he fell in love with this song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's funny, because that song is really old. It's a song that I wrote almost right after I finished recording Reverence for Fallen Trees in 2009. But it wasn't on an EP until 2012.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how the reason why we finished that song was we got we have a company in Los Angeles who do licensing for us, so they place our music in, or my music in film. So we got
which films?
It's been in a TV series called Off the Map, which is like a 1 year season, and then they decided there weren't enough viewers or something. But it's a very lucrative business to get your music in one of those TV series or in a commercial. So then the people who did this show, the music for Off the Map, also curate a lot of other music for other movies. So there's this super commercial vampire movie, the Twilight series, right? And they had part three in the making, and they were collecting songs for this, and they curated that movie. And they said, you were really big fans of the Black Atlantic. We, you know, we placed you in Off the Map. Would you write a new song for Twilight? And, you know, if it makes it to the final cut, you'll be in the movie. But it had to be on really short notice, because that's how they work. So I had this, I had The Aftermath lying around, but I didn't have a bridge. I just had the beginning and the end, and not something in between. And so... like in like a week or something, while we were on tour in England or something, I was like finishing the song, and then finally we were in the backstage, and I was like, "Well, how about this?" And I did this thing, and then everybody's like, "Yep, that's it." And then like a week afterwards or something, we recorded the song, and then had it mixed and sent over just in time for them to consider it being in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it never made it into the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's how the song was like finished. And there's like if you read the lyrics or listen to the lyrics with in mind that it could be... Because I wanted to write lyrics that could be interpreted in both ways. So there's little things in there. Like I sing, we transform back when the night becomes day.
Like vampires.
Too. Exactly. There's that little like double layer that I put in there. But, you know, you can also read it as a description of somebody having an argument with someone and then having to go to sleep next to that person at night and waking up the next morning and, you know, you've had this terrible fight and you don't talk to each other. You have this, like, icy silence, and the next morning you just get up as if nothing happened. Or sometimes you don't get up as if nothing happened. So I hope that doesn't change the meaning of the song for you, but... there's a little bit of vampire in that.